Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
Good morning. Have you all been reading the book of Romans? So as we open to the book of Romans this morning, I'm going to do that thing Romans 1, 2, and 3 is about. Sin. Romans 4, 5, and 6 is about salvation. Romans 6, 7, and 8 is about sanctification. Romans 9, 10, and 11 is about, now you got it, suffering. Romans 12 through the end is about service. It's really important as I've to break this down, because how we live our life is determined on how well we understand the book. Seems odd. Most of us Christians in America are just like we are when we go to put things together. Now, if anybody's ever watched me buy something and put something together, my wife might be able to attest to this. The first thing I do is tear up the instructions, throw them away, and go, this is a piece of cake. I can do this. 3 hours later, I'm pasting those instructions back together and going, ah, I missed it. That's how we live our Christian lives. As we turn to Romans chapter 3 and open up the Word this morning, I have noticed in the first chapter of Romans 1, it's about the history of sin. Chapter 2 is about the reason. Paul even writes it there. He says, don't even the unbelievers do by nature? Because the laws of God, because God wrote them on their heart. You know, I can remember my earliest remembrances before I was instructed what was right and wrong. This is probably not a good thing. Did anyone else here have that experience? Yeah. We can remember small children doing the wrong thing, doing something we'd been told not to do, or we hadn't yet been told not to do, and feeling, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3 is about revelation. And we're going to be looking at the oracles of God this morning. That's the title of our message, the oracles of God. And I want to point out, Diane, that you did an incredible job picking out songs that talked about ancient words. You did a better job than I could have, so I'm glad I relinquished all of that to you, because I could have never done that good a job. The oracles of God. Now, let's dig right down here into Romans chapter 3, what advantage hath the Jew, or what prophecy is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. And as we look in, this word is logia. What's that sound like? Logos, exactly. Which is the Word. It's all in 1 John. It's all in John. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the oracles of God. As we go down through Scripture, from Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the end of Revelation, we have a theme. We see God. Wouldn't you all agree that the Bible is about God? Okay. But there's two themes as we go down through it. It's about the living Word, who is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's the Son. In Him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. That's one aspect of the Word. But it's also about the written Word. When God looks down, He doesn't see a difference. And I'm afraid that the church and the world today sees a difference. We saw this morning that it was read to us in 1 Peter that no scripture came by man's own interpretation. That's the first thing you hear. Oh, that's men's interpretation. Whoa, wait a second. You might hear my sermon and go, well, that's George's interpretation. And you know what? That's okay. That's perfectly legitimate to say that's Osteen's interpretation, that's George's interpretation, that's Billy Graham's interpretation. But when you look at the Word of God itself, this has been protected since the very first words were written by Moses. We have over, just in Alexandrian texts, so there's three places. There's Alexandria, Egypt. Actually, there's a Sinaitic text, which is in Syria. Big Christian, huge Christian population. Thousands of texts. Do you know that there is virtually, and when I say virtually, someone's going to say, oh, well, this text recorded the same sentence twice. Yep, guy probably had a late night. He'd been copying that thing for his entire life, and he copied it from one text to another twice. Didn't catch it until after it was all done, and he goes, I'll just leave it there. Those are the kind of variations. The or a, they do not change the authority. They don't change the theology. They don't change the history. Why is this so important to us? Well, people ask me, what would be your vision for Cape George? Well, probably my vision for Cape is my vision for the world. And I share it with you this morning because I believe that this is the vision that every church should have, not just Cape Nazarene. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what do people in Cape Elizabeth need? Now think about it. This is the richest per capita town in the whole state of Maine. Do you think they need money? Nah. You think they need jobs? No. Probably don't. Do you think they need free suppers? Yeah, probably not. How about education? This is the most educated. There are more doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs in Cape Elizabeth than in the whole state of Maine, and in one of the highest in the whole country per capita. Think they need education? Not the kind of education that first jumps into our brain. Not math, not science, probably not how to read, but there is something that they desperately need. It's not true just of Cape Elizabeth. It is true of the whole world. But if you, we're talking about the mission fund this morning. If you go to the Dominican Republic and you start preaching the Word of God when people don't have enough food to eat or clothes to wear, they're probably going to go, wow, not. Now, someone might receive Christ in that midst without you meeting their need for food or shelter or medical or any of those things. But if you look at the apostles, Luke was a doctor. Do you think he just wrote scripture on that medical trip? Nah, I think there was a reason he was a doctor on those trips. I think he was providing medical care, not just to the team, but to the people that they came in contact. You say, well, George, they could just lay their hands on people. Yeah, they could. When Luke couldn't figure it out, they said, this one comes out by prayer and fasting only. Jesus himself said that. We tried everything the disciples said. Yeah, that's because this one comes out by prayer and fasting. There is a limit to the abilities of mankind. We've reached that in America. We need God to enter in. More than ever before, we need to be in the Word of God. And he can't come in. So, how many athletes in the past? Any? Anybody here? How about people who are successful in business? If you don't learn your trade, if you don't understand what you're doing, I had to learn how to sell. However, I have to admit that the person said to me when I first started selling cars, George, I hired you because if you can sell Christ who you can't see, you can sell a car that you can see. That was a pretty good vote of confidence. I had shared Christ with him about 10 times in that 2 hours that I was had my car broke down there in Arlington, Virginia, and he finally hired me. We need God more than ever before, and we're not going to have it without understanding the Word of God, without understanding the book. God can't get to the world without first getting in me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. How does Christ get there? Be filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. The preacher smacked me on the head and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, no. Let me see. Has he been under there long enough? There's no more bubbles. Yeah. Does baptism save me? Doesn't. Now, baptism is... Well, sorry, honey, I can't really get this off. That's like baptism. This says to the whole world that I'm married to that woman. Hands off. Guess what? Today, that's not really enough. My wife is beautiful and much younger, and everybody knows it. And so she experiences this a lot more than me. When people, when the ladies look at me like, oh, isn't he a nice person? And they have other thoughts. I just look at them going, wow, I'm grandpa. I'm Santa Claus. But you know what? The world doesn't care. I know men in their 80s who are married, and they're still thinking about somebody else. Oh, guess what? Ladies, I'm not going to let you off the hook, because for every man who's checking out a woman, guess what? There's that woman checking him out too. So, how do we make a difference? We make a difference by understanding that when Jesus and the apostles were on earth, they saw Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and I'm not going to do them all, right to Malachi. They saw them as the oracles of God. They saw them as what made them wise unto salvation. They saw the Old Testament as what gave them victory, is what set them apart. They didn't say, oh, that was, you know, Moses wrote that, and it could have been a billion years before, and we really don't know if Moses got it exactly right. You know what? Back before, and the only reason we say before is because we don't have anything older than 5,000 years old. Back before, the parents would actually tell their children, and they would recite it, and they would recite it, and they would recite it, and they would recite it. And you know what? The kids were like, oh, I know my history. Now, my dad told me, you're a vansicle. This is how you're going to live. Well, my mother was right there on the other side going, don't ever forget, you're George Peasley's grandson. Live like it. And so these parents are putting the words of their history. I've got an amazing history that my dad has recited to me throughout my life on his side and my mother on her side. That, guess what? With the computer actually says that they were telling me almost the truth. Well, some things were timing, some things that he was a brigadier general instead of a full general, which I guess is a general, but you military guys would know that he really did fight a battle with George Washington, but no, he was not court-martialed. So all of these things were important. They were told over and over again, and that's how Moses got the stuff. Why is this important? Because if we don't hide God's word in our heart, we will never, ever, 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 ever be able to stand against the enemy. I had the worst week that I've had in a long time. I really wondered if I was going to be able to do this today. I couldn't understand because I was so excited about this chapter. The devil used everyone and everything, especially right here. I was the biggest obstacle. So I was, and we'll get down to it, but I was calling out on God, on His Word. I was claiming verses. Wouldn't even be able to be up here. I'd have called Diane and said, oh, I'm sick. But it was the words of God. It was Scripture that I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin, that I might not sin. Thank you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. So when I'm discouraged and I say, greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Look, I'm uplifted. I don't have to let my boss beat me down. You know how you fight discouragement? Has anyone here ever not been discouraged? Pretty much on a daily basis, I'm discouraged because I'm a salesman. Oh, you don't want to buy the car? Yeah, nah. Discouragement. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I can't let these thoughts in. I can't let in thoughts of I'm worthless. That I'm a failure. I have learned to see failure as my very best friend. Entrepreneurs say that if you haven't failed 500 times, you'll never succeed. Or some entrepreneurs, they succeed the first time, and then they spend the rest of their life failing. So, the oracles of God, Romans 3:1, They're seen in the law. Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. And I'm going to read it. And you can turn with me. But it's important. And it's always the time of turning to the scripture that's the quiet time. That's when you wish someone would stand up and start talking. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the Lord doth man live. You know what? Jesus quoted that in the New Testament. If you wonder what part of the Old Testament is for Christians, just go to Jesus and go to the apostles. They're going to tell you. Because 70% of the New Testament is either a direct quote or a reference to the Old Testament. In fact, Romans 3, if you break it out, about half of that is quotes, continual quotes from parts of Scripture that have been lifted out. And if you go back to that context, yep, they're not lifted out of context. Isn't that another favorite one of people? Oh, you lifted that out of context? No, all you have to do is see what the apostles and Jesus said. Go back to where it was written by Moses and the prophets and say, that's exactly what it meant. Aren't those guys brilliant? The oracles of God are revealed in the law. I'm not going to turn to Genesis 3:15, but that's the promise of when Adam and Eve fell, and God said to Eve that your seed is Jesus is going to crush, who's your seed, doesn't say Jesus, will crush Satan's head, the serpent's head, but it'll bruise his heel. Way back then, God gave a word about Jesus. What's the theme? God, the living word, the written word, it can't be separated. It's together. It's one. It's how we fight the battles. It's what gives us nourishment. You can't go through the day without nourishment. It's what gives us instruction. We can't do it right if we don't follow the instructions, if we don't listen to the words. The oracles of God are seen in the prophets. And we all know Isaiah 53. So I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to ask you to write it down. I'm just going to have you write down prophets. So the oracles of God, the law, the prophets. And it's all about Jesus' second coming. He wrote it 100 years before it happened. And then thousands of years before it happened. So it happened. He's writing in this time, Isaiah. He has stuff taking place 100 years later. And then he has stuff taking place almost 1,000 years later with the coming of Christ. That's prophecy. That's foretelling. And yes, it's probably more like 600 or 700 years, but 1,000 is really easy. People can grab a hold of it. And finally, in the writings, the oracles of God, the same theme, the written word and the living word. It's seen in the law, it's seen in the prophets, and it's seen in the writings. I'm just going to have you look at Psalm 119. You can write it down. You can look at it later. And we talked about it already this morning. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto thy path. The prophets, the writings are filled. Now, for anyone who wants to know what the writings are, that's the history. So all the kings and the chronicles. That would be the poetry. That would be the Psalms. That would be the wisdom literature, which is the Proverbs and one other one, and I'll think of how to say his name in a minute. So, you know, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and I can't think of his name. Finally, and this is where I want to go this morning, the oracles of God are seen in the New Testament. And I will turn to this, Hebrews 1, and you can turn with me there if you like. Hebrews 1, that I won't feel so bad that you're watching me. Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets. Now the writer of Hebrews just does this. Stamp of approval on the Old Testament. Stamp of approval on the prophets. Stamp of approval. This is a book for us. The Old Testament is for the church. Okay? Now, it is also for the Jewish nation. It was written for the Jewish nation, and if you'll find me erring on a side, I'll be saying, well, that's for the Jewish nation. That's for the Jewish nation. This is actually kind of a difficult sermon for me to preach because I'm so into, oh, that's for the Jewish nation. I actually have to deal with Scripture itself this morning and go, well, George, you don't really like to say this, but it's also written for the church. All of that tells us who our Father is. And the book of Hebrews is the unity of the covenants. The unity of the covenants. Old Testament and New Testament. If you read the book of Hebrews, in fact, after you read the book of John, I always suggest you read the book of Hebrews. Because that's going to give you an insight into what you're about to read in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through. It'll wet your whistle. It'll give you a hunger. It'll give you an interest. You'll go, I want to know more. John 1 through 14 in the New Testament, it's the person. The New Testament, it's about the person of the Word. The oracles of God, the written Word, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh, the living Word, and dwelt among us. And finally, in Hebrews 4:12, and this is a verse that I claimed throughout the week, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. When confusion enters our life, ask God to use His Scriptures to get rid of to cut it away. Confusion's just a cancer. It's not from God. He might use it to get us to slow down, to wait. Oh, when in doubt, what? When in doubt, what? What's the saying? Wait, when in doubt, don't. So God uses confusion because we probably don't know the Word well enough, including me. This morning someone says, what do you have for us this morning? I said, well, I don't know what God has for us. I mean, for you. But I said, I hope he has something for us, including me. No one should stand up here thinking they know it all. No one should stand up here without a vision for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Do we realize that we live in the most powerful community in the state of Maine? This is Rome for the state of Maine. Just like Washington, D.C. is Rome for America. We have the greatest responsibility in this church of any church in the state. What we do is more significant here than any other church in the state, because we are influencing the most educated from the cradle to the grave. We are influencing the wealthiest. We are influencing the most powerful. We don't want to bring them that we're... We want to bring them the love of God. What did we learn? Forbearance. The king sitting down with the sword across his lap, waiting. But the king isn't changing his mind about what truth is. He's not changing his mind about what right is. He's not saying, well, to get more people in the church, we're just going to say that this sin is okay, come on in, yeah. We're going to say, I love you in spite of your sin. We don't have to take their sin and put it in a pie plate and smash it in their face. No, that's not love. But neither is watering the Word of God down so they can feel comfortable in our midst. Whatever it is, that's not love. The vision for Cape Elizabeth is a vision for this church. And guess what? It's a vision for each one of us. The vision is to know him and to make him known. We need to be, and this is where I'll conclude, every one of us individually as husbands and wives, if we're married, as families, if we have children or grandchildren or brothers and sisters, every one of us need to be citizens of heaven. We need to be soldiers of the cross. It's not enough to be on our knees praying. That's first. We also have to be in the trenches. We have to be heralds. We have to be proclaiming his love. Sneaking it in however we can. Because that is what we've been called to do for Jesus.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.